Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
For a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, broadcasting live from Studio One. In Southern California. Again, I keep getting text messages. Hey, are those fires near you? Irvine's near you, right? And, yeah, that's when you're not rich, you don't live near that wooded area, okay? Concrete and asphalt form a pretty efficient fire break. So, yeah, just so people know. The Dodgers won the World Series last night. And I want to say for what, like for the third out of four years, it was the whole guys following stats and not watching with their eyeballs that defines the winner of the World Series. And in the years before this, right, the previous two circumstances left the Dodgers on the bad end of it. But last night, the Tampa Rays, I think that's her name, Tampa Bay. They used to be the Devil Rays. They're just the Rays now. So they have a pitcher by the name of Blake Snell, and he is absolutely annihilating the Dodgers, right? He's given up no runs. He struck out, I don't know, nine or something in five innings or something like that. So in the top of the sixth inning, with one out, he gives up a base hit, and his manager pulls him. And you're sitting there and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's amazing, honestly. You're watching him just, and again, I'm not talking about get people out, guys had good swings, they're hitting the ball. I'm talking nobody's hitting the ball hard. I'm talking about he's mowing down the Dodgers' best hitters. And he goes to the mound and they show the pitcher, his name's Blake Snell. And he screams, fucking A, right? You've got to be kidding me. So, yeah, it's crazy. absolutely crazy. Then what happens? So the ninth place hitter gets a base hit. He switches pitchers. Next guy up, Mookie Betts hits a double down the left field line. Runners at second and third. Pass ball or wild pitch, probably a wild pitch. Now it's tied 1-1. Ground ball to first base. Mookie Betts on third. He beats the throw to the plate. Dodgers up 2-1. Betts adds a home run. I think makes it 3-1. And Dodgers win. And the whole thing is an optional event by this thing that's taken over baseball, which is, you know, the stats. And the guy, interestingly enough, A.J. Hinch, who was the manager of the Houston Astros when they were cheating, he had the best line relative to all of this stuff a few years ago. And so he left somebody in. And they asked A.J. Hinch, like, well, you know, third time through and all this bullshit stat stuff, right? And he says, look, I know all the stats, okay? But I've got eyeballs too. My job is to balance my eyeballs versus the stats. And sometimes the stats don't apply because somebody's having an atypical night. Now, what's happened in the past is the Dodgers, the guys who won, they've taken their guys out who've been dominant. You know, one guy was throwing, I think, a no-hitter or a one-hitter. Took him out because that's what the stats said to do. I mean, so it was amazing. And happened again last night. So, congratulations to the Dodgers. My dogs, a little intimidated last night by all the fireworks, Jack and Joe. Not really happy after the Dodgers won. Even down here in Orange County, Angel Country, they were busting out fireworks. So I'm in my backyard yesterday, sweeping after the big wins. And so got to do that right. Cannot stand nastiness. So all the leaves, all the dirt, and all the rest of that. So sweeping that, and a cop starts texting me, hey, Mac. I'm like, yeah. And what do you think about, you know, what's going on in Philly? I said, well, I think deadly force certainly authorized. My only question is, if you get there and you're not a lone officer, so you're there with somebody else, and I'm the senior guy, you're the junior guy. We both have 9mm or some kind of service weapon. Might be a 40 caliber, a little bit bigger than a 9mm, whatever. So, but we both have tasers. So what I do is I look at you and I say, all right, look, we're going to tase this guy first. And hopefully that takes care of it, right? So you tase him. Right, I'll have my smoke wagon just in case everything goes wrong. Got it. So we closed with this guy. Now, unbeknownst to me, after doing a little research, they had been there, right, two different times that day with this guy acting evidently bipolar. In the previous reports, I don't know that he had the weapon. But anyway, now they report again. So I said, well, my question is, why didn't they tase him? So I want to play a little audio. Now, I've been critical of the Philadelphia Police Department and the mayor. So they had a press conference yesterday. And this is the mayor holding the press conference along with the chief of police. She's from Oakland, California. Her name is Danielle Outlaw. She's a black woman, right? And so I want you to listen to the question, and then I want you to hear her answer.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Let's go now to Kristen Johansson of KYW.
Hi there, Commissioner. One question is that we've had questions around whether or not this was.
Put it up on Latico. Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me? That this was also a domestic disturbance call. Based on police protocol, we also understand the police officers did not have tasers. Is it typical standard protocol for armed police officers, you could say, to go to domestic disturbance calls? And also, why don't all police officers have tasers?
These are very good questions. And
now, the frustrating part of this is the audio is going to go in and out because of this Zoom call thing, right?
Now, these are, we all know, every police officer is not.
So what she said is every police officer is not issued a taser.
Funding, so we could continue to outfit our officers with tasers. Some time ago, we deployed tasers along with training, and it was made very clear arrival here that we needed to ensure that everyone, and I mean specific CIT training, it was made clear to me upon my arrival here that everyone needs to have a taser or an ECW, an electronic control weapon, assigned to them, and not have that in tandem with other training provided because it's a separate tool on our tool belt. With that said, these officers had not been deployed tasers, as is the case with many other officers here in the department, and we are continuing to roll out the program as it relates to that. So with that said, yes, it's common for officers to respond to or any type of call with a gun because it's one of the tools that we carry on our tool belt.
And my second question is just with the de-escalation training, has the mayor, maybe the mayor can answer, have you guys been through that de-escalation training? And is there any insights to trying to overhaul that or maybe look at it from a different angle? Because this seems to be a situation where it involves a de-escalation.
Yeah, so I will say this, de-escalation training has evolved over the years. I've been in contact as recently as this morning with the Police Executive Research Forum, who rolls out ICAT training. ICAT, again, is not only communications, but it's a critical decision-making model that a lot of departments have transitioned to and incorporating that into their training, whether it's classroom-based or scenario-based training. I brought it with me and introduced it in my previous role as a chief of police, and it's something that I'm looking into bringing here. So it doesn't mean that we haven't had de-escalation training, but I think as the times change and the type of interactions that we're seeing and the types of calls that we're required to respond to in today's climate, we have to adapt our training along with that, and we will be doing that.
Okay, thank you, Kristen. And let's go now to Martin Pratt of Philly YBN.
So these are media members of the Philadelphia media that are on this call that the mayor put together.
Commissioner, it's been reported that the call that was received was a mental health call. Is that correct?
I can't confirm that. Either way, again, we're still backtracking to find out what the officers knew and what was dispatched to the officers at the time that they.
Now, again, this is my frustration. You know that stuff. It's all recorded, right? So to me, and the problem is that this contributes to the situation in Philadelphia, right? I will guarantee you that she knows, right? And I don't get why they don't say, "Hey, this is what we know."
He arrived on scene.
Second question. If someone is experiencing or family members are experiencing family members who are having a mental health issue, what would you suggest the call to 911 contain so that that does not happen?
We ask for, and then there's training components to this, right? So we have asked of the community dispatcher, but we also have to take a look back and see what our dispatchers are asking when folks call. Because when folks call, they may be in crisis or they're experiencing a critical incident, and they might not be able to spout out that information. So we have to rethink the types of questions that we ask as well. But to answer your question, you know, I think it's important to just give a full history in layperson speak, what's going on, if there are any weapons involved, if there's a history of the involved person trying to hurt themselves or others, layout of the house. Typically, we like for folks to come outside of the residence or the facility if possible. But again, as much detail as possible, if typically they've been violent in the past, or they haven't been violent in the past ever, but today they are, as much information that we have to help us determine our response while we're en route there is extremely helpful. And we, on our end, again, you know, I think we released that at the end of September, during the day, because it's a pilot program, we now have a behavioral health specialist in our radio room, but only working limited hours. This person was not working at the time this call came out, but this person will assist us. And as this program grows, this person will assist us with triaging calls to determine the most appropriate response, whether or not a police response important, or maybe even a co-response with other providers are appropriate. But these are certainly things that we're paying attention to now.
So there's nobody mobile that goes out with?
Not through the police department, no.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Martin. Let's go to Laura McChrystal of the Inquirer. Mm-hmm.
Hi there. My first question for the police commissioner, had either of the officers who fired at Walter Wallace ever responded to a call for service at his house before, whether it be that same day yesterday or a previous day?
I don't know if those officers have. I'm not prepared to answer that right now.
Okay. And my second question, we have heard National Guard members saying that they are being called up.
So you get some sense of it, right? I want to play for you. So you hear that they don't have tasers. Well, why not? Now, there's a guy who appears on Fox. He's a former cop, right? He's a his name is Ted something, right? And this is him earlier today. And the subject of tasers and the funding of tasers comes up.
It is a tragedy. And, you know, the thing is, the police commissioner there said that she believes that officers really should undergo, you know, have some new training there. And one of the big contention points here, Ted, is they didn't have stun guns. And they didn't have stun guns. And a lot of people are saying, well, because the city council has defunded the Philadelphia Police Department, right? They had taken $33 million away. The Wall Street Journal writes the following here. Philadelphia's progressive district attorney, Larry Krasner, has claimed that policing and prosecution are both systemically racist. But the inevitable consequence of the policy decisions now being made by Philadelphia's political leadership is less equipment and training for the city's police officers. The result is likely to be more tragedies like the one in engulfing the city of brotherly love this week. What do you think?
That was the
absolutely correct. This defunding of the police departments is just crap. In this instance, what you needed is to give the police officers the tools that they need to serve and protect the members of that community. And maybe Mr. Wallace would be alive today if, mm-hmm. in fact, city leaders would have given the police officers tasers where this man could have been tased. These officers had no choice. They only had one weapon, and that was their service revolver. So there's a great deal of responsibility, unfortunately, on the city leaders in Philadelphia for what is going on there now.
So there you have it. As the story comes out. And again, to me, the police departments in this country, right, they need to I should say just the police departments. Cities in our country have to understand that there is a race relative to information, and that they have a responsibility to the communities that they protect and serve to get that information out expeditiously. Because if they don't, and the narrative is left to the media, right, and the narrative is left to the media, then you're going to get what you get. And that is LeBron James tweeting that, you know, cops are hunting black men. And so if you don't see that that is as much a part of your job as ultimately doing the investigation that will take months, right? But that's part of protecting the city, is coming out expeditiously, because all these things you know. All these things you know. You can sit down and you can get about an 80% solution, I know, within a couple hours. What happened? Let me hear the tapes. This is the call. This is the dispatch call. Got it. What time did they come on? Who responded to the two previous calls? Well, it wasn't them. Got it. Or it was them. And so you have a moral responsibility, right, and a professional responsibility to paint the picture for your community as vividly as you can. Here's what I know. Here's what I don't know. Okay? Everybody's seen the video that's out there. Based on the video, based on the other pieces of this that I have, let me tell you what I would tell you. That it's terrible to see this on play out live on TV. But if a man approaches you with a knife, you have the inherent right of self-defense, period. So the policy issue is, and I've gone down this road before in a previous life, and that is, why did he shoot him? Why didn't he use a stun gun? The stun gun decision is a funding decision that's controlled by the city council and the mayor of Philadelphia, not by the police officer. Period. So that's one. Well, why? Ask the politicians. They're the one that made that. But again, in my opinion, Philadelphia is now on fire and going to be on fire because of decisions made by their city council. So but to me, you have to stand out there as the leader of the police department, and you got to. This is a race about information. And if not, part of your city's going to burn. Potentially, people are going to die. Businesses are going to be destroyed. Blah 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 blah. And we see it play out over and over and over and over again. And then they say, I'm not going to play the whole interview, but they say, well, you know, we're bound by law. We can't talk to the officers until then. I mean, look, you have the dispatch call. You have the video, right? You know, for the most part, what happened. You can't anticipate the question. So, look, I come before you this morning to tell you what I know here and ask for the citizens of our community to give us time to get you the whole story, which we certainly will. But let me lay out the process first, and then I will tell you the 80% that I know to be fact. There were three calls during the day, two previous to these two officers coming on their shift. I do not know if they were aware of it. I do know that it was not mentioned in their turnover brief when they took to the streets. So they were responding to this call, from what I can tell, as the first call that they had heard about it. They were not involved in the two previous transactions, and their watch chief, in my conversation with him, told me this. You can see by this video that's circulating on social media, the suspect, his mother is trying to stop him. He's got a knife. Police move. He doesn't cooperate. That's your first yellow flag. He then turns to them. There's a second one with the knife. He advances on them with the knife. By that time, without a stun weapon, they're left with one recourse, and that is to shoot him. And they did. That is, from what I could tell, absolutely justified in this case. Now, I know people are going to not be good with that. But that's what, based on what I've seen, based on what I know, that's my professional opinion as your police chief. And I feel a moral obligation to be honest, absolutely honest, with the citizens of this community. I feel absolutely responsible to tell the story of the police officers who are out doing their job on a daily basis. And that's why I'm here this morning. Now, as the days go on and we get more information, I will certainly share that with you. But that is everything I know as of this second. I would ask for your cooperation. There is no need to destroy our city. There is no need to burn and loot our burn and loot businesses in our community. And I would ask for your cooperation in that. Peaceful protests, absolutely. Violent protests, not going to happen. So again, I don't understand. And maybe it's politics. Maybe at that level in a city, it's about getting reelected. It's about keeping your job as a police commissioner. And so you're a politician at that point, right? It's like generals in the Marine Corps. They're going to come out and tell you the truth. And no, they're politicians at that point. So you get what you get. So maybe at this part, these police chiefs, they're half police officer, or maybe a third police officer and two-thirds politician. Those are pretty lucrative jobs. Probably want to stay there for a few years. Okay. And the same thing, the mayor is an elected official. And you see it in city after city after city after city. And all of a sudden it's your turn to be a leader. Are you up for it? For most of them, no. For most of them, no. And that woman is a, if you read her little bio, she's a rising star, right? She's from California. Her father was in law enforcement, I believe in the prison system. She educated at the University of San Francisco, educated at Pepperdine University, went to work in Oakland, rising star and chief of police of the fourth largest police department in the country. Okay. So anyway, Grant Newsham is going to join us in about 37 minutes. So we'll talk to Grant today and a whole bunch of stuff talk to Grant about. So let's see. U.S. India signed an intel sharing agreement. That's interesting. Why is that important? Well, the Chinese moving stuff and doing stuff near the border, we can help the Indian. Yeah. India, the United States, Australia, Japan, naval exercise. Like that. Arms selling Harpoon missiles to Taiwan didn't make Beijing happy. North Korea has gone silent. Why? What does that mean? Are they hoping that D. Trump is voted out of office? We'll take our chances with normally a much friendlier. If he follows Barack Obama's lead, you know, he will roll over for us as North Koreans. So what does Grant make of that? I will tell you, to me, it's not at first glance, it's not a very sexy story. But I would tell you it's a huge story, and that is this. The United States is stationing three Coast Guard cutters in Guam. And the purpose of those, right? So Coast Guard has a different mission, right? They can enforce the law at sea, where United States military vessels, United States naval vessels, cannot. Okay? So, that deployment possibly, as the United States begins to help maybe Japan, maybe the Philippines, or some other nation, enforce their law of the sea territorial rights relative to fishing. And who would the main, you know, violator of that law be? The Chinese. Right? The Chinese in the South China Sea with their nine dash line? In other parts near the Senkaku Islands that Japan owns, Chinese do the same thing. So the Coast Guard deployment has a chance to pit United States military, if you will. Coast Guard's part of the Department of Homeland Security, but they'll be working in conjunction with 7th Fleet. So the United States against the Chinese, you know, fishing militia, right, in waters in the Western Pacific. So to me, that's pretty interesting. Grant wrote an article recently that China is not interested, right? The headline is this: China doesn't want deals, it wants domination. So Grant wrote that, and that appears this week. And then, let's see, what was the other? And then Ambassador O'Brien makes some pretty interesting comments about China at the Aspen Security Forum that I played yesterday. It's essentially probably from about the 5-minute mark to about the 25-minute mark. He talks in detail about China. And so we'll talk, see if anything broke squelch for Grant on that. So should be an interesting program this morning. Dodgers win the World Series. Philadelphia, for the life of me, I don't rightly understand the way, you know, it's interesting, you know, when the white hot spotlight of life shines on you, are you able to rise to the occasion? And you see so many people fail as they try to be, I don't know, right? As they try to do what? You know, say the right thing instead of standing up and saying the truth. And we've seen it, you know, we've seen just leaders just fail miserably around the country. And we've seen it in Minneapolis, right? That guy just incredibly overmatched by the circumstances, which were not easy, no doubt. But again, if you traffic in the truth, you know, you'll do okay. It may not be popular, but you'll do okay. Didn't do that. The Minneapolis City Council, for what, about less than 6 weeks, went on their defund the police thing. We're going to reinvent policing. Well, that ended. Why? Well, the crime rate started going up, and the citizens started asking their elected officials who were, in my opinion, responsible for it. And they said, well, you know, we think people took that out of context. Really? Roll the tape, please. You've seen it in Seattle. You've seen it in an ongoing festering boil in Portland, where leaders are just overmatched by the circumstance. And parts of the city are taken over. Parts of the city are destroyed. It's amazing. And so it happens again in Philadelphia. We'll see how that plays out. So, good morning to you on this Wednesday, the 28th day of October. We'll check news headlines here in a second. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning.
We'll be right back.
And this is dedicated to the chef, who's been a lifelong Dodger fan. And he is very excited last night. He sent me a text this morning. I texted him last night. He answered me this morning, very excited that his Dodgers won. So congratulations to the chef. Still having some stuff done to his back. So hope he feels better. And he's also dealing with his sister got sent home from hospice. So much love out to the chef this morning. And congratulations on the Dodger victory.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You gotta win.
Time to check the weather. Currently, it is. Whoa, is that right? Come on. Good God. It is right. Currently, partly sunny, 69 in Quantico. Down the coast, sunny and 76 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms, sunny and 57. Pendleton, sunny and 55. Sunny and 55. What the hell? Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 68. Okinawa, clear, dark, and 71. In Darwin, in the Northern Territory of Australia, dark cloudy, 76 in Oslo, Norway. They've got three weather alerts. It's cloudy and 48. So the weather alerts are as follows. Potential disruption due to flood. There's two of those, and there's a potential disruption due to wind. So to my oldest son, good luck, bro. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, it is sunny and 57? What? Yeah. My next door neighbor, his son had to evacuate from down in Irvine. And I said, well, where is he? He said, well, he didn't evacuate. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, he stayed, you know, worried about looters, right? So as soon as they give the evacuation orders, the looters, they get in their car. Nice, right? So currently, sunny and 57 here. It's cold. Looking for a high of 75 today, 77 tomorrow, 77 on Friday, on Saturday, 79, which is Halloween, and on the Feast of All Souls, that would be Sunday, it would be 83 degrees. So, but cold nights here in Southern California. So we will take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. Grant Newsham joins us at the top of the hour. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Email. Mac, in my trips to Iraq and Afghanistan, we had similar issues relative to what was known as CIVCAS. For those of your listeners that have never been to those two places, that stands for civilian casualties. There was a race to get the message to the village, to the village elders, exactly what happened when we were culpable, what we would do to indemnify the family. So we would pay money. If we killed somebody, if we destroyed livestock, if we destroyed buildings, our lawyers would go out and we would make, in Iraq, it was known as salacia payments. And he ends with this. The timeliness of that is huge. Maybe we need to conduct a class for law enforcement people. I get it. Some of it is bound by law, but you're exactly right. Within 60 minutes, they had 80 to 90% of the facts they needed. I would dare say they own the body camera footage. So they have the audio and the video as well. I think that the laws that are on the books might have to be modified to balance the public good and safety immediately after these kind of events with the investigation and the due process of the officers. Those are all components of the event. And I don't think looking at the camera and saying, when the investigation is complete, for the love of God, when will that be? And now the city's going to burn down? It seems like law enforcement officials are either lacking in moral courage or the laws concerning the release of some of this information is too tight. In any case, I believe elected bodies, city councils, in this case Philadelphia, need to look at this stuff and reinvent how you attack issues like this. I had not seen or heard that video. Yeah, the video, it was a video of a press conference that the mayor of Philadelphia held. So I hadn't seen it either. I hadn't seen it run on any national outlets, and I saw it in an article that I was looking at this morning. So then I went looking for it. So anyhow, all right, more of All Marine Radio. We'll check the news coming up next right here on a Wednesday hump day on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay. but everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, Reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
She left the yellow. A short little note said I had a good time. It was written in lipstick red. She didn't sign her name. I wonder if that's a little secret that she keeps. Ooh, she's walking around in my sleep. Dream walking, pillow talking.
Calling my name again.
Daybreaking up while I'm sleeping in. I'm gonna roll now.
I normally save this to talk shit with Grant, because this is my go-to. I would crush his ass as he sings like some Frank Sinatra bullshit.
And my old jean jacket, and she never even bothered to ask.
That's how good-looking girls do it. They just do whatever the hell they want. They don't play by the same rules.
Just like smoke through a keyhole, she slips in so silently. She's walking around in my sleep, dream walking, pillow talking. She's calling my name again. Day's breaking, I ain't waking up, but I'm sleeping in. I'm on a roll now, I gotta know how this dream ends. Ooh, there's a thin line between dreams and memories. I'll be losing my mind till she comes back. Pillow talking, she's calling my name again.
I would crush Grant's ass at karaoke, however the fuck he says it.
I'm on a roll now, I gotta know how this dream ends. I'm on a roll now, I gotta know how this dream ends.
He puts some emotion into it right here at the end.
She's walking around in my dreams.
All right. Enough of that. Right? I like singing that song. Right? It's one of my favorites. Toby Keith. To the news we have to go. Fuck. Exactly. Top stories in Stars and Stripes, a newspaper we don't need anymore. So many families have been targeted. U.S. troops say German tax officials are asking for sensitive personal information. German tax collectors say U.S. military commands leave them to fend for themselves. How about that? How about that? Next story. Member of Aviano School's community tests positive. A member, singular. That's the story now. Next story. Army General, military troops won't be on the streets distributing coronavirus vaccine when they are ready. So that's kind of an interesting story. Okay. And the story is this. So somebody develops a vaccine. What percentage of the population is going to take it? This COVID thing is going to be around for a long time. So the strategy has to continue to evolve that, hey, you got to get out there. Case numbers will go up, right? We got to make sure we protect the vulnerable and everybody else gets through it. 99 point whatever percent get through it. Right? And the only people, the people that are most severely impacted have what? High comorbidity factor. So, there you have it. A story that is in Stars and Stripes, Semper Tanks. Marines hold on to the tanker spirit. This is a YouTube channel that got started. And so I tracked this guy down. Turns out we're already friends on LinkedIn. That's right. So you're going to meet Major retired J.R. Valasek. So a former tanker in the United States Marine Corps. Started a YouTube channel that's pretty popular. Yeah. If you go to it. I'll give you the title of the YouTube channel. Here it is. 100 Years of Marine Corps Tankers. 374 subscribers so far. So, how about that? So, yeah, the tank community preserving their legacy. So that in the news still. Fort Sill, S-I-L-L, that's in Oklahoma, home of Army artillery, home of Marine Corps artillery. Basic trainees are the first to get the Army's new throwback uniforms. That's right. The uniforms that look like they're World War II stuff when the Army had awesome uniforms. That's right. So, that in the news today. Senator Tester urges the Pentagon to halt new TRICARE fees that are set to rise soon for many military members. John Tester is a Democrat from Montana. Navy names new barracks at Naval Station Great Lakes after the USS John S. McCain. After the ship? It was named after one of two U.S. guided missile destroyers involved in fatal collisions in 2017. The USS John S. McCain Barracks opened Tuesday will house junior sailors learning at technical schools at the base near Chicago. By treating each barracks as a ship, recruits and students learn the fundamentals of watchstanding. The students who occupy the new barracks will, on the average, be around the same age as those who served aboard the USS McCain. All of the fallen sailors on the McCain started their careers at boot camp at Great Lakes. The Navy used to have a couple, and they only have one now, and that's at Great Lakes. So, that in the news. Top story from the Wall Street Journal today. Stock market selling off as rising fears about COVID. Boeing's cutting more jobs as a result of demand contraction because of COVID. This morning, social media CEOs are coming under scrutiny by the United States Senate. They're in front of the Senate Commerce Committee. So the Senate controlled by the Republicans, hauling them in front of them after they suppressed stories and suspended accounts in what Republicans felt was unfair censorship. So you have the Department of Justice calling for limits on their legal immunity. And so what their position is, we're just providing the lines. What goes on here? However, what happened, 10 days ago or so, when they began to censor content, is they now become a content provider, a content policer. And so should those laws change, and should they have to be liable for their content, then it puts them in a different category. One more headline from the Wall Street Journal. Interesting one. Wall Street Journal NBC News survey finds no late shift towards Trump so far. Top stories in USNI News, real quick. We've got to get Grant on here. Navy releases a second round of USS Thresher documents. That's kind of interesting. The Thresher kind of vanished. All the documents pertaining to that have been kept under lock and key. This week, the Navy released the second 300 pages of a previously classified investigation into the April 10, 1963 loss of the USS Thresher and its crew of 129 sailors off the coast of New England. a Freedom of Information lawsuit by retired Navy Captain James Bryant, a former Thresher-class submarine commander, compelled the Navy to release the documents on a rolling basis starting today. The following is the second set of 12 volumes of proceedings of the Court of Inquiry ordered by the commander of U.S. Atlantic Fleet. The first set of documents can be found on this site as well. So you can find that on USNI News. Top story in Marine Corps Times today is the same as it was yesterday. Not too much to see there. And top five stories in Early Bird real quick. Then we'll take a break and then we'll get Grant on. Number one, Esper and Pompeo drive U.S. anti-China message in India visits. So Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Navy, and the Secretary of State all been in the Pacific Rim here in the last couple weeks. Both SecDef and Secretary of State in India with a very blunt message as the United States signs an agreement to share intelligence with India. Number two, Al-Qaeda feels the loss in Syria and Afghanistan but stays resilient. Do not be deluded by this bullshit, right? These high-level killings rarely are the tipping point. Next man up for them. Number three, emails reveal, I won't even go into that story. Four, Army general, military troops won't be on the streets distributing the coronavirus vaccines when they're ready. Number five, Medal of Honor for Iraq War Hero Cash. I think he's a sergeant first class by the name of Alwan Cash. Back and forth into vehicles, burning vehicles, his clothes on fire. His Medal of Honor has been delayed again. So that is a look at your news this morning. More of All Marine Radio coming up. Grant Newsham will join us here momentarily. So don't touch that dial. Should be interesting. Lots of stuff from the Pacific to talk to Grant about, to include an article he's just authored. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.